I'm on my way to Rochester, Rochester, Rochester. I'm on my way to Rochester, Rochester, New York.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Off the Pipes. Now, Matt and I, we just made it back from Rochester this weekend. We sure did. We went to Roch Vegas, of course, following the men's hockey team there. The good old Colonials showed up. They were able to conquer through a tough tournament. They got to the semifinals, an up-and-down year, and it has finally come to an end. Unfortunately for the Colonials, not the end that they really would have liked to see. We'll cover that and more on today's show. I'm Michael Shuley.
I'm Greg Sutton. Me,
Greg Sutton, of course.
Jumping in there real quick.
We're already starting off solid. And
Matt Simkovic.
Matt Simkovic.
That's my name.
What a fantastic start.
Greg, the three musketeers.
Greg Sutton wouldn't expect anything else from our good pal there. Now, Matt, we were made it up to good old Roch Vegas this weekend. We took a nice little
Woo-hoo!
Crew up there, took a nice little trip. And we watched some good hockey while we were there.
We saw three games.
The Robert Morris Mercyhurst game, the Air Force Canisius game, and then spoiler alert, the Robert Morris Air Force game, which was a great game.
I mean, why was that a spoiler alert? These events have already happened.
That was a great game until three minutes into the first period when Robert Morris was down 2-0 and went on to lose 5-1. However, I think the price of admission was for that Friday night game was completely worth it. That game Friday night against the Mercyhurst Lakers. Colonials coming in against that number one seed.
Well, Mike, I'm going to stop you right there. And if you remember, price of admission for us was free.
We were credentialed. Yes, but I'm saying for the average Joe that isn't lucky enough to be a part of Century Media and get credentialed.
That Friday night game was nuts.
That's probably one of the best hockey games I have ever seen.
It was so back and forth and so involving. And there was never, there was never like any...
I wouldn't say that there's a dull moment in that hockey game, really.
Oh yeah, it was back and forth. I was a huge fan of it. It was back and forth the whole time. Obviously, with RMU, we did have a lead because
let's dig into that recap.
Into
it happened
give
was first period, the Colonials fell down 1. Nothing, and we went into the first intermission like that, losing 1-0. And the Colonials, you know, they needed a spark, they needed to battle back, and they certainly did that. Well, one player certainly did that in particular. If you're looking for a guy to rise to the occasion and really be the MVP, and you're the Robert Morris Colonials, there's no other greater person to look for than Brady Ferguson to step up and really get the job done when it counts the most. And he certainly did that. He scored 2 goals in the second period of play to send the Colonials and the Lakers into the locker rooms for the second intermission with a score at 2-1. However, that was just kind of making it through the station, maybe the first little hill on the roller coaster, because That's when the Roch Vegas roller coaster really started to get moving. It was that third period of play. And let's just break this down for us, okay, here. So it's 2-1 entering the third. And then 8 minutes into the third, boom.
Bang.
Bang. Pow. The Lakers tied.
Kablammo.
Kablammo.
The Lakers tied it up at 2 goals apiece. However, that wouldn't last long, as the Colonials, just a few minutes later, Daniel Mantenuto will make it 3-2 Colonials.
Kablammo.
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 And then, bang.
From Danny.
Bang.
Mantenuto.
Enough with the automatopoeia. The Lakers would come back. Boom.
You said, my turn. The Lakers come back with Derek Barrett.
You weren't there, Greg. You weren't there.
Derek Barrett comes back.
I was there.
Just a short 10 to 20 seconds after Daniel Mantenuto.
And bang, ties the game back up.
3-3 at that point.
And then a minute and 10 seconds after that.
Minute 18. Or minute 10. Whoa. Never mind. 10. I added wrong. Bad addition. Go ahead. I'm done.
We are off the rails here on Off the Pipes.
We're off, a minute the, in, on off the pipes. Oh,
can
no.
you speak into the microphone, sir?
We're just off. At this point, we're just off.
You need to get out and because then, you have a show to do.
And then with a minute and 10 seconds.
One thing I'm going to interrupt before I unfortunately have to disappear again. Mike, I don't think we've gotten anywhere in this show so far. But I would like to make it known that I did call Mike Laurie to have one of the game. It was either one of the game-winning goals.
Can we get there first? Let's get there first. So a minute and 10 after it was tied up 3-3, the Lakers then took the lead with a Joseph Dusick goal, and the things would remain that way until 45 seconds remaining in the third period. The Colonials on the power play, goaltender pulled, and Brady Ferguson shows up once again and completes the hat trick and ties the game up. And it looked like we were heading for overtime, Greg. And we did head to overtime. However, right before that happened, literally in the dying seconds of the game, the Lakers had the puck in the Colonial zone, cross crease pass, wide open net. And the only thing that there was there to hit was the pad of Francis Marat. Puck off the pad, clock turned green, game regulation over. The buzzer behind the goal. The buzzer
the
behind
the goal.
The clock
turned
it
green.
It buzzed. Bing. Next thing you know, we're heading to overtime. And we all took bets on who would score. Nice little friendly wager. Matt said Michael Loria. I believe Sam Anthony picked Alex Tonge. I picked Robert Powers, who I think got two shifts in overtime, but never came close to scoring a goal.
You sound sour.
I was sour. I had my hopes and prayers riding on Rob Powers because, you know, never know. Sometimes in overtime, it's always the person that you don't necessarily expect to score a goal scores a goal. However, it was Michael Loria on the night who was coming in. Tonge actually sent him a pass. It was a little bit too long for him. And the pounce bounced off the Brewer boards, came back out to Laurie in the front of the net, who then made a quick move, moved the puck to his backhand, put it in the roof of the net. Game over. However, hold the phone. We had a review. They were reviewing offsides, and the refs did determine that it was a good goal. So how heartbreaking would that have been? I mean, you think you're going on to the championship game, hard-fought game, comeback, and it just to have it taken away. That would have been rough. And another key thing, luckily that was good for the Colonials, and I think it was their night in the luck factor, because earlier in the game, in the first period, the Lakers rang one off the crossbar, and it hit the goal line and bounced out. So not something that you see too often there, one of those things where the puck hits so hard and it just the net just spits it right back out. And that sent the Colonials through to the championship game. Now, Greg.
So, Mike, I'm not entirely sure how that all works, but so if it would have remained tied at the end of that first OT period, would they go on to another OT since you can't really end in a tie in that situation, or how would they determine the winner?
I do believe it would have gone to a second overtime. They're playing 5-on-5 overtime, so it was good old-fashioned playoff hockey.
All right, just curious. I didn't know how that worked in collegiate play.
And, of course, this then sent them forward to the championship game, the AC championship for the third year in a row, the second year in a row against the Air Force Falcons. And just like last year, the Falcons emerged victorious over the Colonials. And this one really, it was one of those things from the jump that it just wasn't the Colonials' night. 2:06 into the game, Kyle Hake put one in the back of the net. It was a bad goal. Marat came around the net, I think, tried to play the puck, and before he could get back in the net, Kyle Hake had it and just shot it in from the wing before Marat could really establish himself back in front of the goal. Then not even a minute or 50 seconds later, Jonathan Kopacka put one in the back of the net for the Falcons. We're like, oh boy. 3 minutes into the game, you're down by two. The only thing at the time the Colonials had going in their favor was there was still plenty of time left in the game. There's still nearly three periods of play. That's plenty of time to get two goals. Well, then the period's winding down, and the Falcons then added a third goal with about 5 minutes remaining in the period. And once again, the talk was, all right, what do the Colonials need to do to get back in this game? There's still two periods left to get three goals, which is feasible. It can be done. And then 5 minutes into the second period, it was 4-0 Falcons. And then the Colonials, it took them another 10 minutes after that to finally get on the board for their first and only goal of the game. Freshman Nick Perkusic grabbed a loose puck in front of the net and threw it in for the power play goal, making it 4-1. And then late in the third period, Kyle Hake again for the Falcons made it 5-1. You could kind of tell at that point it was over for the Colonials, 5-1 on the loss, and great performance. The tournament MVP, Billy Christopoulos, 35 saves on his way to winning back-to-back MVP awards in the HC tournament, along with back-to-back championships. And this was a good Air Force team. I want to say maybe they had a down year in the offseason or in the regular season, but they certainly came back. And I mean, it was tough. I mean, for all the stuff that the Colonials have been through this year, the ups and downs, and the loss, of course, of former assistant coach Mark Workman, who Schooley got. Matt asked him a great question after the game about the resiliency of this team, and Schooley got quite emotional talking about, if you think about it, this team lost an assistant coach. They lost someone that recruited a lot of the players. Schooley even continued to say that some of the players still were talking to Workman almost on a day-to-day basis. This is the guy that coached them. This is the guy that convinced these players to come to Robert Morris University and convince them that this was the best move going forward for their hockey career. And to have him pass, and of course not really having time to deal with that because that's in the middle of the season, that's something incredibly tough.
Yeah, and speaking of being able to move on and this being the best step for their hockey career, unfortunately, Colonial is not able to grab that championship this year away from the Air Force Falcons. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel for three players as of right now on the Colonial squad. And those three players being, of course, Brady Ferguson, and then also Spencer Dorwitz and Robert Powers. And it's just not a big thing because they're moving on to the next level, but they also have tryout contracts with, well, Dorwitz and Powers are with the ECHL Swamp Rabbits. And then Brady Ferguson signed a tryout contract with the Toronto Marlies. So that's kind of a bright side at the end of the season.
I mean, yes, certainly for those guys. But, man, it has to be tough on Captain Alex Bonche. Senior, of course, had to watch those last two games with the broken leg sitting on the just sitting there and having to watch. That has to be excruciating, just absolutely terrible to go through so much and then have to watch those last two games and really something. And they could have – they could have used him that second game because – the defense really played sloppy. I think Eric Israel, I don't think, had a good night, and he's one of the most consistent defenders on that team with his shot blocking and his offensive capabilities as well, his skating. They just turned the puck over and were very sloppy in their own zone. And I think a guy like Bonche, who's a solid defenseman who could get the puck out of the zone and makes the smart play with the puck at his feet, I think that would have been someone that would have been invaluable to the Colonials on that championship game last Saturday night.
So do you think that if Bonge is on the ice that championship game, do you think it would have ended a little bit differently, or do you think it still would have been the 5-1 tally?
I don't think it would have been 5-1. I don't think first off, I don't think the Colonials would win. I'm not going to say that. Christopoulos is fantastic. Yeah, I mean, tournament MVP, the shutout the night before. They beat Canisius 3-0. And the guy's a rock. I mean, he gets out, he challenges, and he's big. You know, it's hard to get the puck around him. He takes up a lot of that net. So I don't think it would have helped the offense. I don't think the offense would have got more pucks past Christopoulos. Some of the defense, I mean, Murat got pulled in the second period for Pickle after going down 4-0. And they added an empty netter, actually. So what happened was it was 4-on-4. And Schooley decided, I mean, they were down by what at the time? 3 goals with like 6 minutes or so left. Schooley had to roll the dice. He pulled Pickle, tried to get a 5-on-4 advantage there, but we ended up turning the puck over, and Air Force came in and really sealed the deal there and dealt that final knockout blow. And I do think Bonche would have helped out a little bit, but honestly, I feel Francis Murat had a rough weekend. A couple of the goals against Mercyhurst in that first game are some that he probably would have liked to have back, if we're being completely honest. Even in overtime, we were shaking in our boots because we're watching him, and he it seemed though as though he had a lot of troubles containing his rebounds in front of him. You know, it would be a shot off his pads, it would drop down, and he'd go to cover it, and the puck would squirt out, which is an incredibly dangerous scenario because your goalie's kind of moving away from the crease a little bit to go lean over and cover the puck, and for that puck to not be there anymore and have him out of position that way, I mean, that's rough, and that's always one of those scenarios where the goalie fails to cover the puck, there's a scrum in front of the net, and you never know who gets to that loose puck first. And I can vividly remember in that first game a puck where it was kind of just sitting there with a wide open side of the cage. Luckily, none of the players were there, and Eric Israel was the first person to get to that puck. If that's a Mercyhurst player, the Colonials, that they got a wide open cage there, and the Colonials aren't going to the championship, which, I mean, Ian Scully even said this after the game, and I completely agree with it. They won their first, they've been to, I believe, Rochester 5 times in a row. They won the first time they were there. The second time they were knocked out in the semifinals, then the last 3 in the championship. He said, so the question is, would you rather get here every year and lose or not get here at all? And I said, I completely agree with what he said. He said, I'd rather get here and give it our best shot and give it our all and give it our all and see what happens. And I completely agree with that. I still think it's a great achievement for this team that they had an up and down year. And I kind of want to pat myself on the back because I never really gave up on this team. I had them to win the championship, which I said on the last show they'd win 4-1, and they ended up losing 5-1. But there was always something about this team that, like, had that kind of, I don't know what it was. I really can't put my finger on it. But to me, the team just seemed too skilled to not be one of the best teams in the conference. And I feel that that stretch of play at the end of the season was just one of those funks where the defense was picking up and it kind of had the team, when the offense was going decent, the defense was bad. And when the defense was good, the offense wasn't great. And once those two finally clicked in those first 2 rounds of the playoffs, it started to come to fruition how good this team was. You know what? That team they lost to, that was a very good Air Force team.
Yeah, and it really was. They've been good. Even you said they weren't really good in regular season, but even those last 2 games, Robert Morris played against them right before the postseason started there on the 23rd and 24th. I mean, they came out and showed Robert Morris what they were made out of. They showed him their grit in their first game by beating them 1-0 in regulation. And then both teams kind of battled it out to show each other that, hey, we're not quite done yet. And there's still the postseason to play where they tied 2-2. And Air Force just started to prove there that they were kind of the team to beat at that point. So it's a tough postseason loss. 3 years in a row, unfortunately, for the Colonials, going for a going 0-3 in the championship, only being able to win one, or Schooley, should I say, only being able to win one championship in his 5 championship appearances.
And to me, the unfortunate thing is you have a player like Brady Ferguson, who, of course, just signed with the Toronto Marlies for a tryout. And I'm going to go out on a limb. I think he's the best player in the history of Robert Morris hockey. He's the points leader. For him to – I would have loved to see him go out on top. I feel he deserved that within his time at Robert Morris, he deserved to be a champion. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, you know, and how tough does that have to be for those seniors to make it to Rochester 4 years in a row and get sent home packing all 4 years, especially after coming in, like, think about it, those guys coming in as freshmen, like, this team just won the conference tournament, you know, they're going to the NCAA tournament, you know, and then making it back all those years, like, you got to be thinking through the years, all right, one of these years we're going to get one, and that just, I think, is a testament to how solid and competitive the AHC is and really how hard it is to win.
Yeah, and I can definitely agree with that, Mike. But before we jump into the rest of what we have teed up here on the show, we're going to jump to a quick little break. We'll be right back.
Rochester, New York is a good, good city. It's a flower city. They got the lilac Festival, Rochester, good, good city. You go upstate New York, you find Rochester. It's a made for living, It's got a lot of good people. Rochester, New York. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. Rochester, New York is a good, good city. You should go there sometime. Lots of people, lots of good stuff. Lots of good places, lots of good stuff to do in old Rochester, New York. Rochester, New York's a good place to spend your time. I really like it because it is a wonderful land. It's a marvelous place. I really like it so much.
All right.
You can take it. That's fine.
Sorry,
go ahead.
We are back. You know what? I'll let you start off from here. I feel I've talked enough so far.
I don't know. You've talked about some really good things, Mike. So I'm really not going to interrupt
do.
You. I don't know if I'd say always.
Except for saying that the light turned green.
Except for the clock turning green.
That was not my finest moment.
I don't have a lot of fine moments at all. So that's. I'll give you that one.
But you're a fine guy, Greg. You're a fine man.
I really appreciate that, Mike. And
it'll cost you.
I don't know if I can pay for that, Mike. I don't know.
Why? Is that because you're broke?
Broke college kid.
Wait till that Dick's Sporting Good paycheck rides in.
Bing,
here,
bing. But
now,
anyhow,
let's get back.
Let's jump back into hockey action. So, Mike, let's talk real quick about these three players that signed these tryout contracts with these teams. Let's start out with Brady Ferguson. He was the first one to sign. Honestly, from the beginning of the season, I was expecting a contract of some sort to come out of Brady Ferguson. I had it right the first time. Don't know why I tried to correct myself. But he went to that Penn developmental camp this past summer. So that kind of started leaning towards the way where he was going to get into a higher league somehow. And he signed with the Toronto Marlies, and that's a great look for Robert Morris Hockey, getting another player to kind of bump up into the next level leagues.
Well, I certainly think that I even read an article, I believe it was from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. They were talking about, the article was how the Penguins aren't really necessarily afraid to go to college players for talent. And there was a little piece in there about Brady Ferguson and Bill Guerin, one of the former player for the Penguins, of course, Stanley Cup winner for the Pens. I believe he's involved with like the development there. And he said that he's a player, one of the players, like he talked about Ferguson in a positive light. And of course, Ferguson had a huge impact, especially over his final 2 years, 58 points his junior year. Another, I think he might have eclipsed the 50-point plateau again this season. Let's check on that real quick. But for me, I think the best part of his game that translates to the next level is because obviously it's going to be more difficult to score. And at times this year he had some difficulty scoring, I feel. So I don't think that at the next level he had, the website saying at the moment he has 49 points, which I'm not sure if that's a final tally or not yet, but still very close to that 40 or to that 50-point plateau again from a year ago where he had 58. But I honestly think the thing that might translate the most going ahead in his game is his defense and his ability to win faceoffs. I think that was huge. I believe he won something like 57% of his draws this season, which is a good number. And I think it's one of those things that if you could play defense in the NHL, or if you're a solid defender and you can win faceoffs, I think that's something that can translate at any level of hockey. And that's something that, while he might not be a top six forward, he could certainly be, I feel, one of those guys that kind of plugs in the lower half of your lineup, a penalty killer type that can really, that's just a solid all-around hockey player. I don't think there's, you know, his faceoffs are good, which is good, obviously, get the possession of the puck, but I just think he's a solid overall player, and I think that's important that he's not a one-way player and he has a good game overall. I mean, I believe Schooley said possibly something about him, like maybe even leading, I'm not sure about this, but leading the nation in shorthanded goals, which is something, because the Colonials forwards were very aggressive on that penalty kill, and when you have your best player or your best forward out there in Ferguson killing those power plays, and he gets a breakaway and he can finish them, that, I mean, that's a huge momentum shifter. And honestly, I feel that's something as an NHL team I'd look for and say, hey, this guy can win faceoffs. He's not he's not afraid to get to the dirty areas. Ferguson's not a small guy by any means. He has a good build to him. And I think that would be something that gets some consideration going forward here.
That is a big thing, especially in today's world of hockey. It's a fast game. You have to be able to play both sides of the puck. And Brady Ferguson, like you said, can definitely do that from the faceoff circle, clear back to defense, and clear to the other side of the ice, being able to put an absurd amount of shots on net, just pelting the goalie with the rubber. And it's an amazing thing. And I read earlier in the article, I think he is around the 60th RMU Colonial to go up to to jump up after collegiate play. And he's already with the Marlies. So he's already trying to work his way into that program there. But we also have to talk about Spencer Dorwitz and Robert Powers. And they went to the ECHL, and now they're playing with the Swamp Rabbits, which is another great look for Robert Morris Colonials hockey as a program overall, and a testament to how good of a coach Derek Schooley is.
Well, certainly. And, I mean, you can't talk about the success of Robert Morris hockey without mentioning Coach. It all starts and ends with Derek Schooley, I feel. The guy has pretty much essentially built that program from the ground up.
Has built the program.
And, I mean, it's really a testament to his work and the ability even of a guy like the late Mark Workman to really go out and get these guys and bring in this talent. Even Schooley said in the presser after the championship game that they have a very good freshman class incoming. And even to bring in a guy like Michael Laurier, who we kind of pointed out is struggling a little bit at times, but got that big goal for the Colonials in that overtime game and ended up getting to 30 points on the season, which is a good number. And then you got guys like Dorwitz and like Powers. Powers really coming on this year with 14 points, something that he really wasn't known as an offensive guy throughout his career. Dorwitz had 19 himself. He's a very solid player, another good face-off guy, a player that can really do it all for you. The offense might not be there, but he's a solid player. He has some speed. He gets into those gritty areas. And I think they'll both be successful players at the EC or what was the name of the team? I'm sorry,
Swamp Rabbits.
With the Swamp Rabbits.
Yeah, and going back to the Brady Ferguson statement that you had, he had 18 goals. Those are regular, total amount of goals, 18. And then shorthanded, he is sitting. Let me just see if I can find it here. Somewhere it has to be on here somewhere. Luke Lynch is sitting. Down towards the bottom. Luke Lynch and Brady Ferguson both had 2 goals apiece, shorthanded. And that ties them for 10th with just about, it looks like, the rest of the NCAA. But 2 goals is, when shorthanded, that's quite a testament. And you said about Schooley basically building the program. He was the first coach in Robert Morris men's hockey history. So he has been here through the rough times since the beginning, whenever they barely made it into the quarterfinals. And but he's been here through the highs and the lows with that championship and then losing 3 years in a row. So, I mean, he has built this program. He's built a very fine program. And just looking forward, it's just a testament to see what else we can find with Schooley and whatever they can bring in for him to do with talent.
And definitely. And you know what? One more thing about Ferguson, which is something that I think really shows what type of player he is that Mercyhurst game where they were down in the first period and they needed someone to step up, and he came through and he really just, there's 2 goals in the second period. And then when you need your hero the most, when you're on your down, your back's against the wall, you have nothing, you're throwing up your last gas, he came through again. And I think that just shows you what type of player he is, how clutch he can be, and how kind of such an impactful player he could be, putting that goal in at the end of that game there and getting him to overtime. And then Michael Laurier, of course, finishing off. And, I mean, but him just being able to give his team that chance, I think, at the end of the game, stepping up when needed, and in that game for really the entire portion, just being the guy for the Colonials.
Yeah, and Mike, I think this is where we're going to have to wrap it up, not just for the episode, but for the season, as the Colonials had already done.
And, of course, if there's more news, I'm sure we'll stop back and be able to deliver it for you.
And so, on that note, thanks for tuning in through these all seven episodes, as always. And until next time, I guess, I'm Greg Sutton.
I'm Michael Shuley. And for Matt Simkovic, thanks for watching, or for listening, rather. You could have watched. I don't know how.
You
maybe,
stand outside
maybe
the window.
Through the window. We
yeah,
did have
be
some,
a little weird.
We did have some guests earlier. But thank you, and I'm sure you will hear us on the airwaves in the near future with some more Robert Morris men's hockey information.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
I'm on my way to Rochester. 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 I'm on my way to Rochester, Rochester, New York. Take me back to my hometown, where the Genesee kisses Lake Ontario, Rochester, New York, my home, Rochester, my home. Rochester, Rochester, I'm in love with Rochester, Rochester, New York. Take me back to my hometown, where the Genesee kisses Lake Ontario, Rochester, New York, my home, Rochester, my home. Take me back to my hometown, where the Genesee kisses Lake Ontario, Rochester, New York, my home, Rochester, my home.